Let me greet the Sunday night ministry crowd at First Baptist Brandenburg, and whoever may watch this at a later date. It's an honor for me to come today to share this word of God with you. It's a good sermon. I got up at 6 o'clock this morning and been working on it most of the day, and I'm excited about it. It's insights for the future, I think, for First Baptist Church. It'd be a blessing for me, and I pray it'd be a blessing for you. I need to say this is my last outing on a Sunday evening for First Baptist. This is a time of saying goodbye is not easy for any of us, and this will be my last time. I want to say thank you to Roxanne. Roxanne's been faithful to be here to make this happen, and she's behind the scenes. Every once in a while I get an amen out of her, and she's a blessing for me to know, and she's been a great support for me and your church. Some don't know that, but I do know that. She's wonderful. I just pray the Lord to bless the sermon today, and I'm going to kind of take a physical battle with Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament and relate it to our spiritual battles. You know, I hope that we don't get down to shed blood in the streets of America, but spiritually connected, how to overcome the battle is the Lord's, the title of the sermon, the battle is the Lord's. God is more than a God who saved me and takes me to heaven. He's a God that'll stand alongside of me. He's a God that empowers me. He's a God that gives me wisdom. And he is my protector. He is my shield. He's my buckler. And being dressed for battle with him is phenomenal. But boy, he's the guy who pulls it off. Now, I don't know about you, but Ron Davis sometimes gets a little ahead of God. And sometimes I like to take that battle plan and kind of add my 2 cents to it. And that 2 cents never pays off. I've paid the price for that. We all have. So listen to today's message. I hope this will be a message that you can reminisce for your future battles and your family and your life and community and what goes on in our lives. Let me just encourage you to pay attention today. The battle is the Lord's. We're going to get to that. But in the book of Ephesians, it teaches us to walk strongly in the calling that God gives us. You know, church members for too long have sat in Baptist churches and nobody expected them to do anything. Well, let me share with you. I hope that my expectations have come to you personally in this pew. I hope that you understand that the pastor and the God of heaven expects all of us to do something together. We're all different. We all have different gifts. But most of you have sat in church for a year, never invited anybody to church. You care for people when they die and when they get married and when they have babies and they get sick and we pray for them. And that's great. And that's a real important part of our church. But the part of our church is reaching people in the kingdom of God. And most churches know nothing about that. They look at me like, I've been here preaching for 2 years, and as I stretch you and preach the word to the pew, and that's my responsibility. I'll never ask you to do anything I wouldn't do, but I'm going to ask you to do everything I will do. And that's the call of God. I beseech you to be a good Christian, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I want to stretch you in that thinking. But Paul in chapter 4, he stretches us. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling with which you are called. Your Christian walk is a walk. Walk in the spirit, do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Paul is calling us here to take a walk to worthy of the calling. When God saved you, what did he save you for? I want you to think about that today. Now, he's a prisoner of the Lord. Man, he's captivated by Christ and God, and he's serving him. He's just a bond slave, he calls himself at times. You know, slavery is a horrible thing, but when you got a great master, it's not too bad. Jesus, he is a great man. He is a great God to serve. And serving him is a blessing. But he wants you to walk worthy of being a Christian. I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist. I mean, we all need to walk the same as Christians. He says, but with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The most important part in my family, my biological family, is unity. I don't care what all we accomplish. But man, when we grow apart, we're losing something that you can't replace. The unity of the house of God and the unity of Christians across our world, he beckons for that. He calls us into that. And so when you serve a church and you get connected, you can't do it without being hurt. There's always something that happens. There's always somebody that says something, or somebody gets foolish, somebody gets hateful, somebody gets unforgivable. A lot of people keep score. You're getting ready to have a new pastor. And Brother Seth will be a great man of God. He'll try his best not to make mistakes, but he'll make some. And if you're a scorekeeper, shame on you. If you remember everything he does wrong, you remember everything I've done wrong. I mean, you probably got a long list, and it's okay. But scorekeepers are a dime a dozen. You need to be a forgiver. You need to be an encourager. You need to walk worthy of your calling. You're not God. You don't need to keep score. You need to forgive and love and embrace one another. So to walk worthy of your calling that God's called us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, I've been a pastor a long time, and I've had a lot of situations in my ministry. And the one I despise the least is when people call and say, "Brother Ron, if you don't fix that, I'm going to quit that church." Now, here's my fleshly decision. I wish you'd quit last week because you're killing me. It doesn't work that way. See, I just want you to know. I want you to enjoy your church. But your church is made up of people like us, and we get ugly and we make mistakes. But I want you to walk worthy of the calling to keep unity in our church. I don't like to be threatened as a pastor. I don't like to say that, you know, as a staff member of church, if we do this, I'm going to leave. What kind of church is that? That's a performance church. And it's a performance trap. And we cannot keep performing because one day we can't do enough for you. And if we can't do enough for you, I'm going to take my family and leave. Well, it's sad that you think like that. It's sad that while you were here, we couldn't help you to get over that. But that happens. But the battle is real. And God wants us to walk in the battle of life every day of our life. And what's he wants us to do? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You hear me say this a lot. This church is the bride of Christ. And you should never say nothing negative about it to anybody. Anybody. This is his bride. He shed his blood for this. I tell people, you've heard me say it. I love Kathy a lot, and we're together. And I can take a lot. You can look at me and hit me. But boy, you take my wife down, and me and you liable to go into gravel. That's my bride. And this house of God, and Baptists do nothing but belittle it and talk about preachers and deacons and staff. And oh man, I don't want to get into all that. I don't want you in it either. I want you to endeavor to walk with God and to keep the unity of the church is important. Let me tell you something. When I protect my wife, it blesses me. And when my wife protects me, it blesses her. And when you protect your church, it blesses the kingdom of God. So think about that. Think about Paul's call. He beseeches you to walk worthy of your calling as a Christian. Now, when you're walking through life and you're not paying attention, you don't have many devotions and you're kind of mad, you're ticked off, you're ticked off the government, the politics, or the preacher, or school, or whatever it may be in your life, we sometimes let go of the spiritual journey of our life. Sometimes we let go of our devotion and our Bible study. Now, I got a pretty good car, and I can drive that car down the road pretty quick, and I can just go as fast as I want. As soon as I take my hands off the steering wheel, I'm going to be in a ditch. See, my car doesn't stay straight on its own. I got to hold it straight, because if I take the hand off the wheel, it'll go left, it'll go right. I'll be in the ditch. And if you're not paying attention to your walk with Christ and you take your hand off the Word of God and the principles of God, I guarantee you, you're going to go in the ditch spiritually. You're going to be right in that ditch. Some of you may be in there right now. And getting out of the ditch isn't easy. It's messy to get out of the ditch. So I want you to walk worthy in a storm. I want you to walk worthy when nobody agrees with you. I want you to walk worthy when it seems like it's not right. I want you just to continue to keep the unity of faith in your family. Marriage is important. Fellowship is important. And I want you to understand the calling of God in your life. I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament, Jehoshaphat, a king. Jehoshaphat was a king that was really a godly man. And they were hard to find back in those days. in the Chronicles, in the book of 2 Chronicles. I'll be in verse 7, chapter 17 for a few moments. And I want you to see how he pulls it off. I want you to learn that when the whole world is up against him, when it looks like there's no way out, and it looks like God has forgotten him, he doesn't forget God. Now, that's important. Even when you think God's forgot you, I want you to know he hadn't forgot you. I just want you to know he's on time. Let me give you a little chronicle of his life. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3, 4, and 5. Now, we're talking about the king here. A lot of them in the days of the judges, in that lifestyle, in that period of time. And most of those were evil and corrupt. But every once in a while, we found a good one. And today, Jehoshaphat is the good guy. Let me tell you why. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David, and he did not seek the Baals. He walked as his father David. Jehoshaphat walked because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals. But he sought the God of his father, walked in his commandments, not according to the acts of Israel. Not according to how the people were living. He did it God's way. See, he was swimming upstream. In verse 5, therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. And all of Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat. And he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Now, he cleaned the church out. He cleaned out the false god. Let me tell you something. Sometimes ministry is great to preach these encouraging, positive messages. And we need to do that regularly. Never forget that. But sometimes we need to clean a closet. Sometimes the word of God, a cut, is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Jehoshaphat was living in a good time. And things were going pretty good for Jehoshaphat. And he was walking with God and he loved the Lord. That's important. Let me ask you. Are you walking with God? Can I just ask you that question? Are you walking with God? If you are, where are you going? How are you going to get there? What's happening to your life? Let me tell you something. When you wake up in the morning and just ask God, God, what is it for me today? I'm a servant. I'm attentive. I want to do what you want me to do. Father, I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to pick up people. I got to go to the store. But God, I'm sensitive to you. I want to walk with you today because you're the light of my life. You're the love of my heart. You're the reason I live. You're the Christ who saved me. And you're my father. Walking with God is a noted moment in every daily walk. So we see him. He's got good credentials. Things are going good for Jehoshaphat. And then in chapter 20, change things quickly for Jehoshaphat, as they do for us. I like how it opened up. It happened after this that the people of Moab, the people of Ammon, and others with them besides Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. All these armies around them that had already been fought by Israel years ago when they came into the promised land with Moses, with Joshua, they're back. They're still hanging around. They're like a nuisance. They're an enemy. And so Jehoshaphat, sitting around, things are going well, and he hears about the people of Ammon. In verse 2, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, into our in Hazazon, Tamar, in Egedi. I want you to know, there's a great big army coming up, Jehoshaphat. And they're coming to take your house. They're coming to take your ways away from you. When you clean out all those Baal idols and those wooden idols, you take them off. Let me tell you something. You know what sinners do real good? They sin. Sinners sin. Sometimes we get upset when we meet a sinner, a lost person, and how violent their sin is. But sometimes sin is horrible. They're blinded. They can't see. They're deafened. They live in sin. They don't have a savior. They don't have a truth. They don't have a true north. They just sin. So they're sinning. So Jehoshaphat's trying to live his life for God, and the sinners want to attack. So Jehoshaphat is in a difficult time. His focus is on, what in the world can we do? In verse 2, he said, they came to him and told him about the great multitude and all the things that was happening. But in verse 3, Jehoshaphat does the right thing. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. When Jehoshaphat was challenged, he was frightened. He has emotions. He was concerned. This is a big army, and they're purposed, and they're warriors. And so, but he begins to fight them with prayer and fasting, seeking God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, is a verse you need to put on your refrigerator door. Paul is trying to bring forgiveness in the book of 2 Corinthians. There's a lot of battles. That church was fighting tremendously. He tried to end the whole story in 1 Corinthians, but that got muddy, so he had to write 2 Corinthians to kind of explain himself to get to where they needed to be. And he says in chapter 2, verse 11, at least Satan should take advantage of us, for we are very much aware of his schemes. Don't let Satan take advantage of us in the battle, because he is a Satan that knows how to scheme and destroy lives. And when you are in a difficult spot, seek God and seek prayer. You know, have you ever fasted? There's been many times in my ministry where I prayed fast, and a lot of times I schedule that. Sometimes it just comes because of a brokenness in my life. But fasting is it's a giving up of something physical in your life, giving up of food, and giving up a sacrifice of some sort. You know, there's a lot of people think that they're holier because they give up everything. Well, all fasting.